This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. We'll talk WASDE numbers in just a moment. First off, Dan Bossie, President, Ag Resource Company, on Farm Bill questions.
Well, you know, the biggest question on everyone's mind within the Farm Bill is, where does carbon fit in, and how do we measure it, how do we deal with it, and what the purpose does it now play in our Farm Bills in years to come? We'll leave that for legislators. I still struggle as an economist understanding measurement and how we're going to keep farmers to incentivize them to plant cover crops or other things that would do, you know, if you think about it, we still only have about 35% participation in no-till, something that should have been adopted many years ago. But somehow we need to move the needle on these kind of things, and farmers will only do that with incentives through policy.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. By the way, he's got a great website, myfuturesadvisor.com, myfuturesadvisor.com. We'll have that address for you and a phone number here in just a few minutes. But, Bob, as we start our conversation, final World Ag Supply Demand Estimate, or WASDE, report from USDA for 2022. And I'll say already, I saw something that really surprised me, and that was the number on the cotton side of the ledger. But let's step through the entire report. Was that the only surprise?
You know, really, when I looked at the data that came out from the USDA, I didn't see anything that really shook me in terms of a massive deviation relative to expectations. I think the one that probably deviated the most, or two, would be the ending stocks number here for the U.S. for the 22-23 marketing year in terms of soybeans and wheat. I think in terms of just the raw differential between what was expected by the pre-trade estimates compared to the data that came out, I guess maybe surprisingly bullish for soybeans, surprisingly bullish for wheat, and bearish for corn. So I think there was some tweaking here in the U.S. In terms of expectations for the ending stocks here in the U.S. for that marketing year. But most other data that came out, in my opinion, were pretty close. I think the trade did a pretty good job of giving pre-report estimates, at least in terms of the average. For example, in terms of the world grain ending stocks, not just U.S., but the world grain ending stocks, corn came in modestly bolstered relative to expectations by about, I'd say 2 million metric tons or so. I don't know if that really moves the needle when you look at the context of the world situation. Soybeans and wheat, in terms of world grain ending stocks, pretty much came extremely close to the numbers, so no big surprises there. And then in terms of the world crop productions, obviously our focus and their focus is going to be down in South America. And yeah, it was tweaked a little bit lower than the average guesstimate going in there, but not by much. So, for example, a million metric tons for Brazil, their production, 126, was what the USDA posted as their expectation, as opposed to the average trade guesstimate of 126.7, so just off by 0.7. Soybeans were off by 0.8, so it came out at 152 from the USDA. Average guesstimate was 152.8. So, in my opinion, you know, pretty close. In terms of Argentina, actually, I guess maybe if there was going to be a surprise, I think the average guesstimate was a little bit more aggressive on the downside in terms of their production, at least at this point. I mean, maybe USDA ends up coming their way. But in terms of Argentina's corn production, the USDA thinks it's going to be 55 million metric tons. That compares to the guesstimate going in, which is 53.2. And then for soybeans, 49.5 from the USDA versus 48.6. So I know it's a lot of numbers being thrown at everybody. But net-net, on balance, I think for the most part, this whole report, if you look at the whole thing together, basically ended up being about a push in most of the marquee numbers that came out. To your point, though, in terms of cotton, you know, that's for corn, wheat, and soybeans, basically. In terms of cotton, the USDA raised their yield estimate to 868 pounds from 855 in November, so a big increase. Production forecast at 14.24 million bales from 14.03, so bigger yield, bigger production. U.S. exports were lowered by 250,000 bales. The 12 1/4 domestic usage was lowered by 0.1 to 2.2 million, and the ending stocks increased to 3.5 million bales from 3 million. So, like, huge, mostly negative compared to prior report data that came out from the USDA regarding cotton. So that's the U.S. story in cotton. In terms of world ending stocks, they increased it to 89.56 million bales from 87.27. So relative to what the trade had been expecting, I guess, and relative to previous expectations from the USDA, it looks like they're expecting, you know, some kind of dearth in terms of demand for cotton. And we'll just have to see how that plays out. And obviously China's going to be a big input in that equation. And when you hear of some of the bigger picture things like greater lockdowns for COVID and some voluntary lockdowns for COVID in China, that kind of sends a shiver through anybody who's trying to export in the world in terms of pricing for cotton. So I think that's one thing that's definitely playing into that. So we'll see how that all plays out. So that's the data that we got from the USDA. We take it for what it's worth. We have to trade it because it is what it is, and that's the information the market uses. So we use that either to our, you know, hopefully to our benefit if we're prepared for, you know, all the potential possibilities that the price can move in terms of repricing after that report comes out. But then it comes down to the day-to-day. So that was Friday's trade. It traded how it traded, and now today corn is up about 10 cents a bushel. Wheat is up anywhere from 20 to 28 cents a bushel, actually about 15 cents to 28 cents a bushel, depending on which one you're looking at. And soybeans are lower. So we had seen massive rallies in soy meal, and we saw massive breaks in bean oil. And it's kind of turned that on its head today with a pretty good break to the downside in soy meal. So giving back some of those gains and a pretty good rally in bean oil of 224 points. So it's interesting how these markets can move and kind of have those ebbs and flows of corrections throughout a bigger move. And I think that's a little bit of what we're seeing. Soybeans were basically down, in my opinion, based on the weather that happened in Argentina over the weekend. They got a little bit more rain than had been expected. So that's a pressure point there. In terms of just the bigger picture for weather, if we look at the various places that are in focus right now, especially in terms of production, Brazil dryness is basically expected to be around 10 to 15% of the belt. So that seems to be well contained. The Argentinian dryness was abated a little bit based on a little extra precipitation than what was expected, like I mentioned that we got over the weekend. But nonetheless, over the short term here, it's going to flip back where the dryness is expected to reach anywhere to about 2/3 of the crop by next week from about 1/3 of the crop today. So it's going to get drier, and we'll see what happens with that. In terms of looking back here in the United States, the U.S. hard red wheat dryness, that should decrease to about 1/4 of the belt. And as anybody knows is watching the weather, there's going to be a huge storm that reaches a big chunk of the middle part of the United States that's going to last for a couple of days. And it's either going to come in terms of rain or snow, but out of one of those, you know, it's precipitation at the end of the day. And hopefully that'll alleviate some of the dryness that we've seen somewhere once we get past the logistical mess that the storm might create for a little bit. So we'll see what happens there. So those are a few of the bigger picture things that are going on in the markets collectively. And then if we kind of drill down into wheat specifically a little bit more, technically, I guess we're still in a big downtrend, although it looks like wheat is trying to base. I'll give that a trying to base. If you look at the hard red winter wheat, for example, it had a pretty good push to the downside. And then over the last 4 or 5 days, started to grind more sideways. And then today we got a pretty good push to the upside. So technically, maybe we're starting to see a bit of a recovery. Don't know if it's going to be looked at as a selling opportunity, but for right now, we've got a bit of a recovery. Zooming out, in India, their wholesale prices of wheat have had a pretty good rise of nearly about 23% over the last year or so. So quite the opposite of what it feels like here in the United States right now. The managed money traders, you know, stick with me on this one. The managed money traders are short almost 64,000 contracts. So these are the spec funds, the spec money that comes into the marketplaces. So they've been a pretty good propeller of this market to the downside, getting short to the tune of almost 64,000 contracts. And recently they got to that level by adding another 9,300 for the week going into the week ending December 6th. What this does, though, is it sets up in our mind, guys have been doing this for quite, ladies and gentlemen who have been doing this for quite a long time, that when they all try to hit the exits, if there's anything that comes along to be a catalyst to the upside, then we see it should see a pretty good prop to the upside in terms of these guys covering, because this has been this is the largest net short position since June of 2020. So they've created a big short position. If they're right, so be it. Maybe they want to get in there and defend it, but if all of a sudden something comes along to kind of turn the tide the other way, then they're going to hit the exits all at the same time. So we kind of look for it and wait for it to be maybe a bullish thing that's happening as they've gotten as short as they have over the last several months. And then in terms of the corn futures being up on the day today, I think that's really down to some of the news events that happened over the weekend with some of the elevators in Odessa having power issues based on what's going on over there in that the war, and then also the fact that corn's getting a bid based on what's happening in the energy complex. And crude today, as we speak, is up $2.25 per barrel. That's roughly about $73.70. So pretty good move to the upside. And the distillates are up too. That being diesel and RBOB, even natty gas, which isn't completely correlated with those distillates, but nonetheless, even natty gas is higher. So the energy complex as a whole is popping up. And I think that the corn traders have their eye on that market also, and that's helping to draw a bid there. So plenty of dynamics happening in the marketplace. We'll continue to watch what happens with some of the external forces like those energy markets throughout this week. I imagine things are going to start to taper because the holiday is just around the corner, it seems. So volume could become an issue. So you really got to be on your guard as to some whipping moves that could happen. And real quickly, we have CPI tomorrow, which could be a big mover in the marketplace and maybe move our commodity markets. And then we have Powell and the Fed on Wednesday. So another highly likely big mover in the markets.
Well, we started with the website address, myfuturesadvisor.com. It's not the only website you have. Plus, you have a number we can call, talk one-on-one, right?
Sure. Generally, if you want to see what we're about, you can go to www.manducatrading.com. That's the other one. Or just pick up the phone, give me a call. Number is 312-987-2053. Or if it's easier and you prefer email, it's bmaurer. B-M-A-U-R-E-R at ManducaTrading.com.
Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading, Chicago, on today's Agribusiness Report.
As a farmer, there's a lot you can't control. Now there's one thing you can. Introducing the all-new Fendt Rogator 900 Series, the only rear boom sprayer with two height adjustable clearance to elevate your control in all seasons. Add Liquid Logic technology and three-year Gold Star customer care, and you have a machine putting power at your fingertips. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today from Chicago, Bob Maurer.
There's a tradition down here in the South, a tradition of hard work, a tradition of straight talk. For more than 100 years, Delta Pine Cotton has been a proud part of that tradition. With proven yield potential and genetics you won't find anywhere else, Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with Strong Cotton from Delta Pine Brand. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like at Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. This is the Agribusiness Report. You can catch up with Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading Chicago, online, myfuturesadvisor.com.
At Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success is our only purpose. We understand your financing needs and will be here to support you through it all. We specialize in traditional farming and ranching operations, recreational property, equipment and livestock, agribusiness and country home loans, plus insurance and leasing. At Ag Texas, we're dedicated to the prosperity of agriculture and rural America. Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success, our purpose.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report.
U.S. cotton production estimates rose in December, also reflected in USDA's latest global supply and demand estimate for that commodity. Yet, World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Jankowski says,
global production is actually down a bit, driven by a smaller crop in Australia, and also another cut in our production forecast for Pakistan.
And while world cotton production is down,
consumption down much more strongly, about 3.3 million bales, and global ending stocks up 2.3 million bales.
The U.S. cotton balance sheet showed ending stocks up due to the higher production forecast and lowering of exports.
We didn't change our market price, though, just mainly because prices for cotton have been extremely volatile, just day to day, week to week, up and down, so it's pretty hard to gauge where they're going to end up. So for now, we're holding steady at 85 cents a pound.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.